You know, as we consider Christmas, I'm always reminded of what Paul shares with the folks in Corinth in his second letter to them, where he just explodes with this crescendo of saying, "Thanks be to God for his incredible gift." You know, Christ is absolutely the best gift. He is God's indescribable gift. And so as we consider that, you know, I know that children are looking forward to gifts. Maybe even some of you adults are looking forward to some gifts over the next few days and sharing them with one another and things like that. But the greatest gift will always be Christ our Lord. It reveals God to us because indeed Christ is God with us. Emmanuel, all that we have seen and all that we have already sung. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel so that we could read the Christmas story together. Luke chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, Fritz would be glad to get you one. Just kind of raise your hand and he'll get you one. And by the way, we give Bibles away here and we'd love for you to have that. So just kind of raise your hand. It's okay. It'd be good to have a Bible there to read along. But Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Follow along as I read. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. "And it came to pass that in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was that when these angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled, and those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God of all the things they had heard and seen and that was told them." Drop down to verse 25, please. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So when he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed and said to Mary his mother, Behold, your child is destined for a fall and a rising of many, for many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What a precious gift. What a joyous gift that was given. An incredible, indescribable gift. You know, and we know through Scripture that this indescribable gift was from a virgin birth. Mary had not known a man. Such a precious gift from God on high, given for all who would believe, and the wonder of it. You know, I remember reading a story one time during the of something that occurred during the American Revolution. There was a pastor in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, who was very, very good friends with George Washington. And George Washington had asked him to be the chaplain for the army and do a bunch of things. And this John Phillips had done just that. And so they were just great friends. Well, there was also a gentleman by the name of Michael Whitman, that didn't care for him very much. And man, did he rail on John Phillips all the time. He just called him names. He just called him a loser. Everything else that he could think of under, he just despised. And he wrote columns and papers and just talked about this foolish relationship between George Washington and this pastor. And just railed on him all the time. Pastor Phillips went back to Ephrata and began preaching and everything. And then he heard that Mr. Whitman had been arrested for treason. And then he heard that he was found guilty and sentenced to die. He decided to walk all the way from Ephrata to Philadelphia, which was the capital at the time, to meet with his friend George Washington and plead for the man's life. And George goes, "What do you mean? He's a traitor. No way." And he said, "No, I can't imagine this man ever doing that. I can't imagine him ever thinking of turning his back against his country in any way." George looked at him. He goes, man, Mr. Whitman must be a great friend of yours." And Peter said, "No, he hates me. He thinks I'm the biggest fool in the world. Don't you remember reading any of his articles?" And George actually said, "No, I didn't waste my time doing that." And he goes, "He's your enemy?" "Absolutely. But I'm convinced he could not have done this." So George Washington, in his thinking, says, "I am going to not only commute the sentence, but I'm going to commute him into your care for 3 years." And he has to agree to that. Guess what month it was? December. And he walked all the way back to Ephrata with Peter, wanting to know why, after all the things he said, why? And he said, this, because Jesus Christ is the greatest gift anybody could receive. And I have received him, and that's why you and I are different. The love of Christ, which I have received, I want you to experience, even if it's just the love that I have for you, unconditional. See, this indescribable gift, the very first gift of it is, he's a gift of God's love to us. Think about that. You know, we love John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ is, the birth of Christ came wrapped in swaddling clothes, and it announces this beautiful relationship that we can have with God, holy creator of the universe, through Jesus Christ. He's saying, here he is, wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, I've been a participant in living nativity scenes. I don't know if you've ever done that, whether out here on the Western Plains they did that. I want you to know, in upstate New York, it's cold to do that. But it's fun to do that. You know, one of our children actually was the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes one year. I'm trying to keep that one quiet. No, it's cold. But the joy of it, the gift of love. We love, you know, our families and things like that in so many different ways, and we want to share the love of Christ here in the Ellicott Chapel. We want to share the love of Christ with everybody, reveal that love to so many. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews put it this way: therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That love of God, yeah, for joy he went to the cross. I'm so thankful for salvation, but I always sit back and I know me before I was saved, and I think Christ did that for me, and I marvel. And then to consider, for joy he endured the cross. Now think about that thought for a minute. He is God's love gift to you and I. The joy is twofold. First, the joy of doing the will of his Father. He was so willing to endure everything on the cross that you and I so deserve. I'm quite sure that Peter Miller would have done as much as he could have to see this man set free. He pleaded for him. Christ, in a way, has done that on the cross for you and I. His righteousness, immediately, the very moment that you and I trust Christ as Savior, the righteousness of Christ is put to our account, because our righteousness is ugly. We can't do anything in and of ourselves. This buffoon, during the American Revolution, he couldn't do anything more. He had painted himself into a corner, death was imminent, and somebody interceded in a very profound way. Christ intercedes for you and I at the very throne of God today. What a joy, what a wonder, this gift of love turned into that gift of life, the joyous life that we have in him. Turn with me to John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles there, turn with me. I'm just going to read a few verses that just profoundly reveals all that we have in Christ. Starting at verse 9. Notice what it says. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Wow. Greater love, verse 13, has no one than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. This gift of love, this gift of life that he has given us, he laid down his life for us so that we could be set free from the bondage of sin. That's why we love Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know, it says, for by grace you and I have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I don't know, in the Northeast, even though we're a very rude lot, I'm just being honest. All you have to do is walk down the streets of New York City a couple of times and you'll figure that out. But, you know, we think we're pretty good. Yeah, we think, yeah, you know, I'm not half bad. You know, and that, I would tell my wife that, you know, and she started going to church and I'm like, come on, I'm not half bad. Yeah. And what God had for me to see is, no, Rich, you're all bad, in a sense. No, yeah, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I wanted to say, well, because I haven't done X, Y, Z, I should be okay with God. You know, and that isn't God's design. You know, because the standard then would become yours or mine and not God's. And God created us, and God created the world. And when this thing of sin entered into the world, he made the perfect plan, and it's through the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonder of that, and the joy of that. So that it would be by faith in what God has given us in his Son, the gift of life. You can have it. I can have it. I have it through him. It is by believing in his name, truly trusting all that he has given us. Romans 6, 23 says it very plainly, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As Stephen Alford wrote about this encounter concerning General Washington and Peter Miller for Michael Whitman. You know, he just couldn't believe that Peter would do that. And as they walked home in that first year, Mr. Whitman came to trust Christ as his own personal Savior. And the story goes on, he became a huge supporter of George Washington, which he was not up to that point. And after his years were done, George Washington invited him back to be a part of all that he was doing. That's God's grace in the midst of it. Yeah, God didn't need to save me, but he has. Yeah, and then he has this divine plan that he wants to use us and to love one another within the body of Christ and to love others unconditionally. If you'd been in Safeway in Falcon yesterday, you might have had the treat of something crazy happening. We happened to be, my wife says, oh, I need to pick up a few more things, and I'm going, oh, okay. I'm sorry, that's just me. I'm not a shopper. And so with a smile, we go on in, and we pick up a few things, and we're going through the counter, the checkout line. And I always like to try to strike up a conversation, especially this time of year. And so I said, hi, how are you? How are you doing? You know, and I said, things must be crazy, you know, busy. And the gal goes, oh, it is. It's real busy. You know, it's like the Amazing Race. Yeah, and I don't like it. And so I said, oh, nothing like Amazing Grace. And she looks at me and she goes, do you know that song? I said, yeah, I do. I love it. And she goes, sing it. She's just looking at me. And finally, guess what I did? I started singing Amazing Grace. Now, that isn't for me, but she began singing with me. And the guy who was there standing at the end began singing as well. And when we just finished the first verse, she says, oh, I feel so much better. He said, so do I. You know, it's all about Christ. Now, I didn't plan for that, and I'm not saying it for my glory. I'm just saying that people looking at Christmas, sometimes we forget what it's all about and all the mayhem and craziness, and it's all about this indescribable gift that God's given us and this gift of love, his pure, totally undiluted love that he pours out into your life and my life through the power of his Spirit consistently. And he wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have his joy to the full, even in the midst of pain and hurt and all of those things. Christmas is meant to be a celebration. And sometimes when things hard happen around the holidays, it's hard. I'm thinking of very close friends of ours. And if you happen to be here a year ago, a very dear friend of mine passed away on Christmas Eve, right here in the Springs. And I can't imagine what they're going through tonight as a family without their loved one. But I know this for sure. Their faith is steadfast in the one who cares. And so their joy in the midst of their pain and hurt can be real. See, this isn't just a gift of love and a gift of life. It is also a gift of light. Your life and my life, because of the light of Christ, is meant to brighten up the world. Yeah, I have my down days. I'm quite sure you do. Diana and I have had difficult roads at different times. Scary things. Getting a phone call 2:00 in the morning letting us know that our daughter had just rolled the car 5 times. But she's okay. You know, your heart jumps in your throat and the pain is real. This light should never go out in your life and my life. I love what the Lord says about this. In James chapter 1, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought forth the word of truth, that he might be the kind of first fruits to you and I. You know, in John's gospel in chapter 9, Christ introduced himself to those disciples as that light of the world. This is what he says, I'm the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. A thief or Satan does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he does. He wants to destroy beautiful relationships. He wants to kill passion and desire for God. He hates God so much that anything that would draw close to him, he wants to steal that joy from them. But Christ says, I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives my life for the sheep. And Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Christmas, a beautiful gift of love. Tremendous, true gift of eternal life and relationship with God. And light, a gift of light for you, for me, for our lives. You know, that's why Christ said in Matthew in the Beatitudes, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." The light of life. A number of years ago in the Sunday School Times, carried an account of a Christian school in India where the children were labeled as the children, the untouchable children of India. And this was prior to World War II. And the children began to receive gifts at Christmas time from a mission agency in England. And it came to a doctor's attention that though the gifts were coming to this orphanage, the gospel hadn't been brought to the orphanage. And so he asked for permission to take the gifts one year. And this particular year, all of the little girls got dollies and all the guys got a toy truck kind of thing. And so he had all these toys and he took them. All the dollies were different and all the trucks were different, but he took them. But he also shared with them the joy of Christ and the gift of Christ and the reality of Christ with these children and shared with them the love. And he goes, "And I want you to know that there's an orphanage over here next to my clinic that they don't get gifts. And what I'd like you to do, you've been getting these gifts now for 6 years, is to, if you have an old one that you would like to give to a child up there, I'll come back in 3 days and I will get these gifts and we'll wrap them all up together and I will take them to these children that don't get gifts." Now, these children, they said, "Yeah, we can do that." And so the doctor came back 3 days later. And to his amazement, each child that came forth with their gift, they were bringing that year's brand new gift. And the doctor just looked at the children and said, "Why are you giving this year's?" A little girl spoke up and said, "If Jesus gave us the most perfect gift, shouldn't we be giving the best also?" And it broke his heart because he understood that they understood the truth. The love of God, what a beautiful love gift. Christ, that baby born in the manger. The gift of life for all who believe. It's just repenting and trusting Christ, believing in your heart that he died for you and rose again, paid that penalty you couldn't. And then the gift of light, the joy that we have of just living for Christ in a crazy world. It's a precious gift. I'm going to invite the thought of a particular song that I fell in love with some time ago. It says, "This gift, this is Christmas. It is God's indescribable gift. It is a Savior wrapped in a manger. It is the cross of Christ."